Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829. 623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or even through the World Wide Web and share the living Word of God with you. Just before we get into the Word, though, I want to take time off just to share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are temporarily located at the Radisson Hotel on Ryson Road in Port of Spain around the waterfront area. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and every Saturday evening we are on the air on 98.1 at this time teaching God's Word. So if you have been listening to the program, you are blessed by it, you want to come to one of the live services, you can visit us any Sunday morning at the Radisson Hotel from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We are on the first floor in the Radisson in the San Fernando room. Primarily, that's where all our services are held. And we want to connect with you also. If you want to get more information, you could connect with us on our web. You could go onto the website, fogwm.org, and you'll get a whole lot of information about the ministry and so forth. And the beautiful thing about it is all the radio programs are there from 10 or 11 to present. So go enjoy yourself with the Word of God. Feed your faith. Amen. Now, we started a new series entitled Walking, Am I Exercising Real Faith? And we use 2 Corinthians 5:7 as our foundation text, which says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." But the question, the study is a question, am I exercising real faith? Am I really walking by faith? And I established that in order to walk by faith, or to be sure that you're walking by faith, there are some things you need to pay attention to. One of them is that you need to understand that there are different kinds of truth. You need to understand there are different kinds of faith. You need to understand there are different kinds of unbelief. So we began the discourse by paying attention to different kinds of truth. We established that there are two kinds of truth. One is called sense knowledge truth. The other is called revelation truth. We established that sometimes what we do is that revelation truth is superseded many times by sense knowledge truth. Now, if you're now first time you're listening to the program, you may wonder, well, what are you talking about? Well, sense knowledge truth is truth that you acquire through the five senses. You know, you went to school to talk about the five senses. So sense knowledge truth is truth that is acquired through the five senses. However, revelation truth is truth acquired from God's word. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, part B of the verse, he says, "Thy word is truth." The word of God is truth. Hence, the word of God does not change because it's truth. Anytime it changes, it is not truth. But God's word is truth. And what happens is that many times we allow sense knowledge truth to supersede revelation truth. But if you really want to know if you're walking by faith, sense knowledge truth must not contradict Bible truth or revelation truth. If you really walk in by faith, sense knowledge truth must not contradict revelation truth. And when you walk in by faith, revelation truth has to supersede sense knowledge truth. Sometimes they can work together, but most times they really don't. Because what happens is that sense knowledge truth is subject to change. Revelation truth changes sense knowledge truth. So you find that sometimes sense knowledge truth, it gives you a fact, but a fact that is not eternal. It could be changed. Whereas revelation truth gives you a fact that is eternal, that changes not. It changes things. So there's a difference between them. Now, I stopped the program talking about the difference between trusting God for healing, because in ministering to the sick, this is something that does come up. How much of sense, knowledge, truth should I walk in when I'm trusting God for healing? And how much of revelation truth should I walk in when I'm trusting God for healing? Because it contradicts itself. The doctors are telling you one thing, the word of God is telling you something else. Well, if you're going to walk by God's word, you have to allow what God has said to supersede what the circumstance, what the doctors are saying. Because even though they are right, because it is truth they're showing you, that is not finality. Are you hearing me? Even though what they have diagnosed is correct, even what they predict about having diagnosed your condition may be correct, it is not finality. What has the final say is revelation truth. You know, that's why I normally tell people when I'm ministering to them, you know, for example, let me just read this verse of scripture and I'll explain to you what I normally tell people. In Mark 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So this is not just for ministers. Once you're a believer, you qualify to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, you know, you cannot take one verse of scripture and build your whole life on. You had to use the Bible saying the mouth of two and three witnesses, let everything be established. So this is my point. Even though the Bible said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, it doesn't talk anything here about believing, but other verses of scripture talks about believing. So it's not just the laying on of hands, it's the laying on of hands plus. But the promise with the laying on of hands is that they shall recover. Well, because the verse said they shall recover, I want you to understand that even though it's divine healing, it's not always instant. And because it's not always instant, you're going to go through a recovery process. Well, sense knowledge, true medical science would have given you some prescription. You can take your prescription while you're believing, because sometimes Christians think that they are in unbelief if they take their medication while they are believing. See, so that's what I say. You have to balance between sense, knowledge, truth, and revelation truth. You can take it. It's like, I was asked a question once to say, as a pastor, you do counseling. I said, yes. Do you allow your people to go and outside also and do professional counseling from psychology? I said, listen, I have a healing ministry. People who come to me, they come sick. While I am administering God's word, I don't ever tell them stop taking the medication, because I am dealing with their problem from a spiritual perspective. The medical science is dealing with it from a natural perspective. I say, so what's the difference between me counseling you, giving you spiritual truth, showing you how to handle the things of God, and the psychologist telling you something, once it's not contradicting one another? And many times, sometimes when I'm dealing with things and I'm looking at areas that the Lord will impress that we have to deal, and when I hear what the psychologist something is telling them, it's almost similar. It's just that we are going after it from two different angles. However, and I want you to get the however, if the Spirit of God prompts you to ignore sense, knowledge, truth, and operate by revelation truth, it will do you well to obey the Spirit of God, because there is a reason why He is telling you that. Because I've dealt with people, I have dealt with cases where people say, listen, I know this is what medical science say. I know this is what revelation truth says. And this is what God said to me. I need to do. Now, when you tell me God said to you, I drop the rock. Eh? It's between you and God. It's no longer between me, you, and God. It's between you and God. And I've seen those people. I mean, I can share testimonies after testimonies, healed and living today and so forth. And if medical science, I could remember one who just recently, some months ago, said, listen, the Lord is dealing with me. I have to ignore this and go on revelation truth. She said, if I continue only on what they are saying and ignore the truth, I will die. The woman is alive today and going well. So the challenge is that you have to, I believe that you need to balance it, but you also need to know when God is leading you to walk in revelation truth. Now, let me say something else again in relative to healing and this whole concept of revelation truth and sense knowledge truth. Sometimes where healing is concerned, you may have to make a decision without God telling you, this is what I want you to do, and just stand on revelation truth and minimize or ignore sense knowledge truth, all that have been said about it. And that can be a bit scary, because you could sense knowledge truth, you can relate to things that you can see, feel, hear, and touch. Revelation truth, you have nothing to relate to more than God's word, and there are no feelings with it. I remember my son is believing God for a job replacement, and his mom, him and myself are having a discussion. And his mom said to him, are you walking by faith with this? She said, yeah, mommy. She said, you know, faith has no feeling. He said, that is the bad part about it. He said, because I am trusting, but there is no type of feeling that I can say gives me confidence that God is working. I just have to believe that even though I can't see him, even though I can't feel him, even though I can't touch him, even though I can't hear him, that he is working on my behalf. And that is a part of the faith process. I don't want to say that is what faith is, because faith is more than that. But that is a part of the faith process, that even though you can't see him, even though you can't feel him, even though you can't touch him, even though you can't hear from him, you have to believe that he is working on your behalf. I'm telling you, you have to. I've been there so many times. I have been there. Let me just share. This testimony came up. Maybe it's to help somebody. We there was a fire about 7 months ago. So a couple of work had to be done on the building, electrical, this and that. We're almost in the final stage, thank God. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said to go to Radisson Hotel, hold your services there, this, that, the other. And when I saw the bill these people drop on me, I like, oh, Jesus. But I am going there knowing that he told me to go. And while we have been there, with the transition, I have had members who have never come down to Radisson. So I have some of them just stopped coming to church. So my numbers drop. But you know what? We have been paying the bill, and the savings have increased. Now, in hindsight, looking at it naturally, that not making sense, because sense knowledge would tell you, you know, you shouldn't even be going there. That the bill is too high. But revelation should say, go. And revelation truth supersedes. So you have to know when to allow revelation truth to supersede natural truth. And sometimes you have to make a decision without God even telling you, this is what I want. You just say, look, God, I am standing on your word. I'm trusting you. You are my Jehovah Rapha. So where healing is concerned, sometimes it is like that. And then here's the next complicated issue. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? If you're in a relationship and you have a husband and wife and family and so forth, if everybody is not on the same page and you have to make a decision like that, it's going to traumatize people. So I know it says, take wisdom, get into the word of God, meditate on it, build up yourself. You all talk before you make these kind of drastic decisions that you're not going to continue medication, that you're just going to stand on God's word. And then I sense in my spirit, some of us as Christians, you condemn people when they're doing that and you don't realize what they're doing is putting their trust in God. Then the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your understanding. At some point, that will come your way. You will have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your understanding, lean not onto sense knowledge. That will come your way. And that is one of the ways you exercise faith. That's why I say, am I really exercising faith? Because some of us, that's where you are right now. You're in between these two places here. God is saying one thing and your sense knowledge is saying something else. You really have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, because your own understanding is limited. It is subject to change, but the Spirit of God is not limited. He knows the beginning from the end. And also, you could trust God. And then somebody, yeah, but if we do it and we die, well, you're only praying and singing about you want to go to heaven, you get opportunity. It just kicks in. You understand? But here's my point. So sometimes you really, 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 really have to come to that place to question, am I really exercising real faith? And look at these two areas. Look at sense knowledge, look at revelation. Let me give you a next one. We're going to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And then we're reading verse 25 to 33. So in Numbers 13, we're picking it up. It says verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Okay. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So God had promised the nation of Israel the land of Canaan, and he is telling them, listen, send men out to spy out the land. Okay, that's what it is all about. Send men out to spy out this land that I'm giving you. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 25 to 33. Okay, it says this. Verse 25, and they, that is the men that were sent out, returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they went and searched out this land of Canaan, it says. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregations. Now watch this, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, this is Moses, and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Okay, watch verse 28. Nevertheless, the people in Canaan be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Alamekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they are telling Moses, listen, God told you, he's given you this land. You tell us, go spy it out. We went. And it is a land flowing with milk and honey. We even bring back some of the produce from it. Nice, beautiful. However, outside of that, this is what we saw. We saw the Amalekites. We saw the Hittites. We saw the Jebusites. We saw the Amorites dwelling in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelling by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, it would do you fine to do a study on who were the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, because they are talking to about, I think the children of Israel was over 1 million people, yet these people were bringing fear into them. So it would do you well to study who they are, so that you could see why their sense knowledge was trying to contradict Bible truth. I'll continue to read now, verse 30. It said, Caleb stilled the people. What do you mean? He told them, shut up. Listen. Now, let's stop talking. Before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, what's the evil report? Saying, the land, though which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great status. And there we saw the giants. You see, that's why I say go study it. The sons of Anak, which comes of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, what this is revelation knowledge contradicting sense knowledge, and sense knowledge contradicting revelation knowledge. When Caleb perceived that they were sharing more sense knowledge than they were sharing revelation knowledge, he said, listen, stop. Let's go up to the mountain and take it, now we are well able to do it. But because he was not in his own company, but he had others around him, the others around him said, wait, hold on, Caleb, hold on. What we see and what God say, what we see and looking like what God say could work in on. And this is how we navigate things. And they were in a dilemma. And what they did is they begin to walk by sense, knowledge, truth, and ignore revelation truth. That is what God had revealed to them. And God allowed all of those who were controlled by their sense, knowledge, truth, and based their life on sense, knowledge, truth, and didn't act on revelation truth to die. And that is how you come up with the whole concept of 70 to 80 that Moses spoke about in Psalm 90. And we think that that is what it means, that a man's life should be 70 to 90. And then you're confused when a Christian die at the age of 35. But that's a different lesson. But that's how the whole thing comes up. So my point is that sense, knowledge, truth, and revelation truth are not the same. And they contradict one another. And if you are exercising real faith, you have to make sure you are walking by revelation truth. Now, since I'm doing this coming up in my spirit, I want to talk about this in the context of tithing. There are some of you are poor givers. You don't give poorly, you know, you're a poor giver. What that means is that when it comes to practicing giving, either through tithes or through offering, you do not do it as you should, so you're a poor giver. And I'm not saying you're giving poorly, you're just a poor giver. You understand? See, what that means is that you personally not practicing giving richly. You're practicing giving poorly. You may practice giving once every 3 months, once every 2 months, once every 6 months sometimes. And you're in a ministry and you love the ministry. You want to work in the ministry. You want to see the ministry do good. But you don't understand that it takes money for that to happen. Now, you can use the excuse that all pastor wants is your money. And that's just a lame excuse. You're sitting in a nice chair. You sit in a nice air condition. You enjoying the comfort of water and coffee and things. Because church has changed and so forth. Now, you enjoying place have car park and all of that. But you will not put a proper cent to God's work the way it should be. Why? Because you are struggling between sense, knowledge, truth, and revelation truth. And because you're struggling between the Bible is teaching giving on one end, but your senses are telling you if you practice that faithfully, your bills and other things will go unanswered. And what is happening with you, you're no different to the children of Israel who went and spied out the land, and you have an evil report because you have been saying the land of which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. That's what you have been saying, that if I give, I wouldn't be able to meet all my expenses and things. You are experiencing what the children of Israel was doing to God while he spoke to them about the tithe. Let me see if I can go there quickly. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. We want to take it from, do I have time? Yeah. Take it from verse 8. Okay, in verse 8. Watch. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you say, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God said, in tithe and offering. Then he said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I have something on this, but we're not going there for the sake of time. Verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, what verse 11, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and you shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, watch this, verse 10. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. However, hear this, here in verse 13, the Lord is talking to them, but here's what he's saying in verse 13. He said, your words have been stout against me, said the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? So it's two things. In Malachi 3:8, he began to talk to them about, let me go back there, about will a man rob God? And they asked, well, in what way will we rob you? Then in verse 13, he says, your words have been stout against me, said the Lord. He said, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And he begins to answer it, just as how he began after in verse 9 to answer the tithing issue. he began to answer the words as to. Here's what he said in verse 14. You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that if we have kept his ordinances, which is giving through tithes and offering, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Now, what they were saying is that, listen, we can't keep this thing, you know, it will not work for us. So they were using their words, contradicting the revelation truth that they had on giving. And that today is the same. You have sense knowledge truth that is telling you, if I only faithfully practice giving, it appears as though we will go under. We won't be able to pay rent. We won't be able to pay light bill. We won't be able, I mean, we're not doing it consistently and faithfully now, and we catching with skin. If we only do that, we will go deeper down the barrel. But what we don't understand is this. Revelation truth supersedes knowledge truth. And you have to come to a place where you make a decision that you're going to give faithfully. I battled with this early in my Christian walk in the 80s. Early in my first 2 or 3 years. And I was going through these passages and so forth. And the Lord spoke something to my heart to help me. He said, he called me by name. He said, Wendell, yeah, I didn't put tithing in here for me, you know. I said, oh, really? Well, I was glad to hear that. He said, no, I put it in here for you. And then he asked me this question. He said, what am I going to do with your TT dollars? And that had me thinking. I said, what I know? I say, yeah. He said, I have no need for your TT dollars, but you have need for TT dollars. You want more. And I have created a system whereby you can give and I can multiply supernaturally and give back to you. And when he said that, it's like I got a better understanding of this thing. I said, okay. So I allow revelation knowledge to supersede sense knowledge so that my bills was speaking to me. But I allow revelation knowledge to speak over it. And I begin to say with my mouth, I learn from the children of Israel, my words must not be stout. I am a tither, I am a giver, and my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And let me show you, I've become so faithful in that I'm going into my over 20 years of marriage. And in over 20 years of marriage, I have never missed 1 month tithe and offering. Never. Never. Why? Because the word of God works. Amen. Well, we are running out of time again, but this has really been good. I want you to connect with us. So give me a call at 623-1889 or 746-0819. And we will pick up this study next time. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.